it's another beautiful weekend. And on this note, I say Akwaba, Akabo, Jambo, and hello again, Bankless Africa.
Hello again, indeed, Bankless Africa. I know it's been a while, but thankfully it is the end of another phenomenal week, which means it is time for Sats Ngwe, where we bring you weekly updates and recaps of some of the most significant crypto and Web3 headlines about the African continent and sometimes about the globe. I am, of course, Miss Purple.
And I am, of course, Nike.
And we remain your favorite decentralized reporters from Africa.
Well, today is the 13th day of May, and the markets seem to be slumping hard. You know, a couple of weeks ago, Bitcoin reached it peaked at over $30,000 for the first time in a very long time. But as of today, that appears to have declined to a current value of $26,783.57, slightly down from what it was about 2 weeks ago at $29,300.68. Ethereum currently sits at the $1,800 mark, slightly down from what it was two weeks ago at $1,904.59. Optimism token currently sits at $1.64, which is a very sharp decline from its over $2 peak as of a couple weeks ago. The Matrix token currently sits at $0.8267, slightly down from what it was at $0.9981. And the Bank token, sadly, is still, declining. Currently sits at $0.004477, down from what it was at $0.005934.
And with that, we're going to move over into our national currency, starting off with the Ghanaian cedi, which is at 11.75 cedi to the dollar, which is the same as it was this time last week. So even though there were shifts in the middle of the week, when we look at the end of the week averages, we are still sitting at the same value. The Nigerian naira is at 462.50 naira to the dollar, down by 0.43% from last week's 460.53 naira to the dollar. The Lesotho Luti and South African rand are not doing great at all by any means, currently sitting at 19.44 rand to the dollar, down by a whopping 7.46% from last week's 18.09 rand to the dollar. The Kenyan shilling is at 137 shillings to the dollar, down by 2.14% from last week's 134.13 shillings to the dollar. And last, but certainly never the least, the Central African CFA franc is at 602 franc to the dollar, down by 0.68% from last week's 597.96 franc to the dollar. I think it's pretty insane when we look at all these currencies and we see them having this simultaneous decline, which is, of course, worrying, you know, seeing what is going on in the US and now seeing how it's affecting the African continent and the various nations in various ways. I think if anything, you know, once again, make sure you look out for yourself and look out for your cash. Okay. We're going to give you a quick rundown of some of two of the headlines that we found to be particularly interesting from last week. The first one being that the African blockchain business funding has risen by 429% in 2022 alone, according to a report. I think that's pretty phenomenal. Of course, to hear more on that, be sure to listen to our previous episodes and you'll be able to hear that.
And one that particularly piqued my interest was about blockchain startups in Kenya that have raised approximately 3.5 billion Kenyan shillings as of last year, according to a report. That is a lot of money. And it's good to see that investors are still optimistic in the promise of blockchain technology in Africa and that they're still willing to pump in that much money in African blockchain startups. That brings us to a wrap-up of our headlines from the previous weeks. Moving on to our headline for this week, we're kicking off with Morocco, where a Frenchman has been jailed and fined the sum of $3.7 million for buying a Ferrari with Bitcoin.
This is quite a funny one, just from a personal standpoint. So 21-year-old French citizen Thomas Clausy has been sentenced to 18 months in prison and a fine of $3.7 million for using Bitcoin to buy a luxury car in Morocco, where cryptocurrencies are considered illegal. The judgment day by the Casablanca Court of Appeal against Clausy was upheld in May 2023. He was incarcerated in December 2021 for fraud and payment with foreign currency on Moroccan territory after a French woman accused him of using Bitcoin to buy her Ferrari. Clausy was also accused of issuing a fraudulent check in the name of a third party for the purpose of purchasing three luxury watches. The court ordered him to compensate the owner of the watches with 40,000 dirhams. According to his father, the young man had relocated to Morocco with the intention of establishing a neobank in Africa. Morocco is among the leading countries in crypto adoption in Africa and ranks 14th in the Chain Analysis Global Crypto Adoption Index 2022, even though crypto is actually illegal in Morocco. It is also among the top 10 countries in popularity of meme coins. Morocco's central bank governor, Abdellatif Jouari, announced in January 2023 that the country had completed a bill to guide the regulation of cryptocurrencies. Now, although the trading of crypto is technically outlawed in Morocco, digital assets remain immensely popular. I just have one question for Thomas. Why would you do that? Why would you do something so big? You know, because a Ferrari is not exactly something you can just hide. Spending that much money on something using crypto is not something that's very easy to hide. I mean, you know, even smaller transactions, you can still track them. But a transaction of that sum is an insane amount for anybody to spend, more so in a country where technically crypto is outlawed. I think you should have done better. You know, there should have been better ways to do that. Maybe he wanted to flex, or maybe he wanted to show people that I actually have the money to start a neobank, but whichever format it is that was that he was trying to go for. It's quite unfortunate that he has unfortunately been jailed and now subsequently fined. I do hope that other people don't do such extravagant spends while trying to hide the fact that you are actually doing something that is outlawed within that particular region. Moving on to the next headline, the Nigerian blockchain company Zone ranks on Africa's fastest growing companies of 2023 list by the Financial Times and Statista.
Zone, formerly known as AppZone, has been ranked the only blockchain-based organization on the Financial Times and Statista's, in quote, Africa's fastest growing companies 2023 list, end quote. The annual ranking recognizes top performing companies in Africa's private sector that have demonstrated remarkable growth and significant contributions to their respective sectors. Zone was ranked 74th on the list, marking a significant achievement for the company. Obi Emetarom, co-founder and chief executive of Zone, expressed his excitement about the announcement, saying that the team is, and I quote, deeply honored by this recognition. Zone works with over 20 of the biggest commercial banks, fintechs, and OFIs in Africa, connected to its Layer 1 blockchain network. Its mission is to lay the foundation for a world where digital payments are frictionless, borderless, and compatible with every form and store of money. The company also obtained a payment switching license from the Central Bank of Nigeria, allowing it to expand its decentralized payment network and establish connections with different financial service providers. Okay, this is super cool. Personally, this is the first time I ever heard about Zone. I won't say today, but like in the past week, when I first came across this bit of news, it was the first time I ever heard of Zone. And the first time I did, I had no idea that they would even be this big. But apparently, they are this big, at least big enough to make it onto Statista's list. And anybody who knows anything about global statistics should know that Statista is one of the places everybody always looks. And I am super happy for their growth, the fact that they seem to be doing so well, and the fact that they are still deeply committed to, you know, building a world where digital payments are more seamless, more frictionless, and more borderless. That is a solution we all need, you know. The freedom to move money and do financial stuff without borders. I feel like that is a financial future that we all are looking to see, something that we are looking to see come to life, and something that I am very optimistic is achievable in the not so distant future. So thank you, Zone, for being one of the players in creating this amazing future that we are all looking forward to. I'm moving on to our next headline. Paxful resumed services after regulatory and internal issues halted operations. This is quite interesting.
Paxful, the popular Bitcoin peer-to-peer marketplace, is finally back online following a one-month hiatus that resulted from regulatory hurdles and internal conflicts. Now, while the wallet remained active during this period, the platform itself ceased operations in April 2023. Ray Youssef, the co-founder and former CEO of Paxful, cited regulatory issues and staff departures as contributing factors to the marketplace's suspension. Youssef also stated that legal action against him by another co-founder, Artur Sacabek, further complicated the situation. Despite freezing 3% of customer accounts, Paxful managed to unfreeze 88% before resuming its services. Youssef resigned as CEO on April the 18th, and the company recently announced its return in a blog post. Paxful is eager to continue serving its 6 million global users who lack financial access, according to this announcement. Now, again, this is quite interesting, and congratulations to Paxful for being able to come back online finally after a whole entire month. But I would implore that both from their end and from the user's end, be sure you fully understand what happened, because simply saying, you know, internal issues and regulatory issues halted operations, to me, that is not nearly enough for me to want to jump back into the saddle with you when you disappeared on me for a whole month and you were not going to do any business whatsoever, you know? So perhaps it has something to do with the fact that previous CEO Youssef had to resign. But it's quite interesting. You know, I would say first and foremost, everybody should do as much more research as you possibly can, find out exactly what it is. Perhaps this is a call to all the reporters out there to maybe find more information so that people can have a much fuller base for them to do their research off of, so they can truly understand what it is they're getting themselves into. It would suck more than anything for anybody to find themselves, you know, saddled in and latched onto a project that is perhaps not as clear cut as we hope it could be. Moving on to our next headline for the week, four African projects have received a sum total of $80,000 in grants from the Bitcoin Development Fund through the Human Rights Foundation.
The Human Rights Foundation, through its Bitcoin Development Fund, has deployed $455,000 in grants to 12 projects worldwide. The grants aims to improve Bitcoin scaling and privacy, censorship-resistant comms, education, inside authoritarian regimes, core development, and community building. The four African recipients of the grant so far are Create Bitcoin Innovation Hub Uganda, which gave $50,000 to Meron Estefanos, Bitcoin Senegal, which gave $10,000 to Nuru, Bitcoin in Africa Show, which is based in the United States, funded Charlene Fadirepo, and Bitcoin Dada Kenya funded Lorraine Marcel. Okay, this $455,000 is definitely a lot of money. I mean, nearly enough for 12 projects. And I feel like the purpose for which they are deploying this fund seems very, very, very reasonable. Something that we actually need. Bitcoin scaling and privacy. You know, there's a lot of people are building on Bitcoin, especially on the Lightning Network. And, you know, given the fact that Bitcoin was the first and still remains possibly, very definitely the most prominent, there is always going to be the need to, you know, advocate for it, secure it more, provide, you know, build more on it in terms of apps and everything else. And I feel like we definitely do need a lot of more developers in the blockchain space, especially in Bitcoin. I actually do read a lot of news, see a lot of people, you know, deploying funds, you know, giving grants to developers on the Lightning Network, on the Bitcoin Network. And I think it's really good. All of these are incentives that will sort of edge people on to keep doing what they're doing. Because the only reason why we have an ecosystem that is this strong is because of the hands, the many hands that are on deck to ensure that it keeps going. And I feel like, yeah, it's definitely good to pick out those hands that are doing all that good work and reward them in some way, or at least provide the means for them to keep on doing what they're doing. So I totally support this, and congratulations to all the recipients all over Africa and beyond. I'm moving on to the next headline of the week. We're moving to Nigeria, where over 4 million eNaira wallets created in response to the cash transfer program.
According to the governor of the Central Bank of Nigeria, that is the CBN, Godwin Emefiele, over 4 million eNaira wallets have been created in anticipation of the second quarter disbursement of funds under the federal government social intervention program. The wallets were created in response to the request from the Ministry of Humanitarian Affairs, Disaster Management and Social Development as part of plans for the next tranche of conditional cash transfer program for the second quarter of 2023. As of March 20th, 2023, approximately 4 million wallets were created, especially for social intervention payments, representing about 30% of total wallets created so far. The value of eNaira transactions has reached almost $50 million, which is a 68% increase since the beginning of 2023. Over the last 18 months, more than 13 million wallets have been recorded, with over 22 billion naira, that is $47.7 million, in eNaira transactions. 10 billion naira, or $21.7 million, of which has been minted, and 3.42 billion naira, or $7.2 million, currently in circulation. In a CBN bulletin, Emefiele said, and I quote, "We have seen good progress in the adoption of eNaira," end quote. And he further stressed that the eNaira remains a handy option to adopt. Now, I don't have a personal opinion on this. I would just like to throw this in your court, Nikki, to say, what is it really like? Because I haven't heard good things from citizens in Nigeria when it pertains to the eNaira. So is it truly showing good progress? Is it actually serving the people as it was supposed to? Or are you still incurring a whole lot more trouble than you should be at this point?
So what I'm just going to say is the federal government has probably realized that the eNaira till now has been a colossal failure, if we're being honest. Adoption, it's been nearly 2 years. I think it was launched in 2021. Adoption has been super slow. And a lot of people are still not digging or buying the idea of the eNaira. It doesn't have any unique use case. I mean, basically everything the eNaira is attempting to offer is the same thing that any digital currency or even fiat is offering. So now what the federal government is trying to do is to try and push or advocate for the use of the eNaira using its own initiatives. So now, yeah, they already previously talked about, releasing funds for the federal government social intervention program. But again, I think they already also did mention in some way that these funds will be disbursed to only through eNaira wallets, right? So now, in response to this, I mean, a lot of people have applied. A lot of Nigerians have applied to receive this money. And so a lot of people have now gone ahead to open eNaira wallets. But again, there is no guarantee that these people, after receiving these funds, or even after this phase, would continue using the eNaira wallets. I'm only going to assume that out of the 4 million people, maybe only about 5% or less than are going to be getting any form of that grant. So the rest of the people who actually open these wallets, I'm not so sure that they might be inclined to prolong their use of it, because it really doesn't offer any special advantage over, you know, like your regular bank accounts or your regular digital currencies. So I feel like the federal government is trying really hard to get people to dig it and like be into it, but it's not, let me say, it's not giving, you know.
It's not giving what it's supposed to give. You know what? I feel like we should have an entire episode where we just talk about exactly what is going on with the e-naira and everything around there. I think there's perhaps a few lessons that we can learn and maybe some things that we can find out that maybe the public is not fully aware of. So that is a particularly interesting conversation. I think we'll add it to the books as one that we should most definitely have sometime in the near future. Moving on to our next headline for this week, Kenya partners with Abu Dhabi's Venom Foundation to build a blockchain and Web3 hub in Africa.
The Kenyan government has partnered with Abu Dhabi-based Venom Foundation to launch a blockchain and Web3 hub in Africa. The center will foster collaboration between technology companies and government entities, promoting blockchain innovation across sectors such as finance, supply chain, agriculture, business, and cross-border trade. Venom Foundation will provide tools and resources to support the digital transformation of Kenya and other countries in Africa, including blockchain-based solutions for supply chain management, land registry, voting systems, and asset tokenization. Very interesting, especially the voting systems and asset tokenization. Now, Moses Kuria, Kenya's Cabinet Secretary for Investments, Trade and Industry, said that the deal shows the country's stance towards next-generation technology. He added, and I quote, "We believe that the establishment of this blockchain hub will catalyze further innovations in various industries, benefiting our people both nationally and globally. Africa is already rich in natural resources and human capital," end quote. Venom Foundation CTO Christopher Lewis also said in a statement, and I quote, "By bringing next-generation blockchain technology to the continent, it will empower the people and help not only Kenya, but many other African nations to capitalize on their assets and participate in new global markets competitively." Well, for one, I'm going to say, like, I like the areas of focus that they're really looking at, supply chain management, land registry, voting systems, and asset tokenization. So, surprisingly, 2 weeks ago, I did read about a certain company, but this is in the US. It's called Votes. That they already do have a platform that allows people to vote on the blockchain. You know, they provide that solution to organizations or bodies that want to use that service, that want to use the blockchain voting system. And I did read about them a lot, went through their website. It's really cool how and it's way more transparent than, you know, regular voting systems, especially in places like Africa, where it can be really rigged and the process can be really distorted to favor a certain person. Blockchain voting, for instance, solves a lot of that problem. And I think asset tokenization is really interesting too. And as much as many countries and many governments around the world are trying to fight that, I feel like in the end, it's inevitable. It's something that is going to happen. So, this is really good stuff, the Venom Foundation, and I'm really looking forward to seeing, hopefully we get to come across more updates from them. Really looking forward to seeing what innovation, what good they can really do with all of this idea they have in place. I'm moving on to the next headline, still in Kenya. Kenya proposes a crypto and NFT transfer tax, as well as a tax on monetized online content. Ha, this is super interesting.
No, it's a tragedy. That's what it is. Kenyan lawmakers have introduced the Finance Bill 2023, which proposes a 3% tax on cryptocurrency and NFT transfers and a 15% tax on monetized online content. Now, if passed, exchanges would be required to collect this tax, with 3% of the transfer's value being paid to the government. The bill also seeks to bring about a tax on digital content monetization, levying a 15% tax on content creators paid to promote products and services online. Some have criticized the digital asset tax, with a Kenyan research analyst calling the 3% tax a joke and a crypto advocacy group calling it targeted harassment. I think this is one of those situations where you're focusing on the wrong thing. You know what I mean? I feel like there are bigger issues out there than for you to be taxing 15% on content creators. The reason a person becomes a content creator is because there is not likely a place for you in the traditional mainstream space. So now I am taxed 15% in a place where I am not guaranteed a job because I have to get products and services for me to be paid for to promote, right? And if, say, I get one this week, now I've paid you 15%. I must somehow have these few hundreds of, you know, nairas or shillings that I have on me last me for the next 3 months or however long it's going to take me for me to get another product or service for me to promote. That is the silliest thing I've ever heard. Also, this then, what does this also say about, say, maybe a Kenyan who is not in Kenya? If I get paid and I'm Kenyan and I get paid to promote a particular, say, a hotel, for example, and I'm traveling and I'm in Ghana at the moment, do I still have to pay that? You know what I mean? I mean, I'm sure they've maybe written that down or whatever, but it's just, this is not conducive. This is not promote people to create content about Kenya and be passionate about Kenya because you're thinking that 15% tax, you're going to have to get paid. And it's ridiculous. You know, it's pretty crazy. I do wonder what the aim here is. I am very curious to learn more about this. I'm going to make it my personal mission to do as much more research as I possibly can, and I will bring it forth to the table next week so we can fully try to understand what exactly this means for the content creators. Because again, it's not guaranteed, you know, there's no set salary that you're going to get. Sometimes it's barely enough to get you by, and sometimes it's more than enough to get you by, but there is, once again, no guarantee that it will go your way. Moving on to the next headline for this week, Nigeria approves the national policy for a blockchain-powered economy without explicitly mentioning crypto. Very interesting.
Yep, I'll have to agree with you. That one is very interesting because how on earth do you want to talk a whole lot about blockchain technology without somehow mentioning crypto? I mean, it's not like cryptocurrency is all there is to blockchain technology, but it's very implicitly implied in almost all instances, and I feel like eventually it will come into play here. Nigeria's Federal Ministry of Communications and Digital Economy has approved a national blockchain policy aimed at creating a blockchain-powered economy, according to a statement made by the ministry. The policy is designed to promote secure transactions, data sharing, and value exchange between people, businesses, and the government, which will help enhance innovation, trust, growth, and prosperity for all. However, the statement does not mention cryptocurrencies, which the government has cracked down on in 2021 after becoming one of the fastest digital asset adopters in the world. The Federal Executive Council has directed regulators, including the Central Bank of Nigeria and the Securities Exchange Commission, to develop regulatory instruments for blockchain technology deployment across various sectors of the economy. A multi-sectoral steering committee will oversee the policy's implementation. Well, to be honest, I feel like whatever it is they're trying to describe, in my opinion, is pretty vague. I don't feel like they've said enough about what they intend to achieve with this. They say something about the policy trying to promote secure transactions, data sharing, value exchange. But I feel like cryptocurrency is probably already promoting secure transactions and value exchange across border, across with people and businesses. But maybe in some way, except if the government is trying to do something spectacular, like maybe create a community, you know, like an online hub where people can actively meet with each other and do like P2P, trade, sell, buy, all of that. But if that's not the case, then I'm really struggling to understand the overall purpose of this blockchain policy. Maybe more will be revealed as time unfolds. But for right now, it's not very clear to me what they are trying to achieve or what they are trying to do with it. I'm sorry, but I would need to see more to be convinced that they actually know what they're doing. And moving on to our last headline for the week, MasterCard launches their Music Pass NFT to offer access to Web3 training for emerging artists.
The program aims to equip emerging artists with the skills and tools to use Web3 technologies and reimagine their creative processes in the digital economy. The MasterCard Music Pass NFT is a limited release that unlocks access to exclusive content available through the program. It was free to redeem until May the 8th, and token holders will have access to all program content, including educational materials and Web3 tools. The participating artists in the MasterCard Artist Accelerator Program will receive personalized one-on-one mentoring sessions from a variety of experts in the music and technology industry. Tusha Abde, an Australian composer and producer who has worked with some of the biggest artists in the industry today and who incorporates AI into the creative process, will be one of the mentors. British dancer and content creator Nife will provide her expertise on building an engaging online presence. Ian Rogers, Chief Experience Officer of Ledger, will guide the artists on how to build a digital business. Through these sessions, artists will learn how to use Web3 tools to create original tracks that can be redeemed as NFTs and will also be performed live by the artists in a special showcase. I'm going to start this off by a quote saying that one of the incredible things about Web3 technologies and NFTs in particular are the way in which they offer creators more flexibility and ownership of their content while generating exciting new ways for fans to engage with their art, end quote. This is according to Beatrice Koneshia, the Senior Vice President, Marketing and Communications of Eastern Europe, Middle East and Africa at MasterCard. Another quote, she says, she continues on to say, and I quote, "The MasterCard Artist Accelerator Program and MasterCard Music Pass give us an opportunity to harness NFTs for both of these exciting purposes while helping to support some of the most vibrant, diverse young artists in the world today," end quote. I think this is quite phenomenal. I think it is very exciting. We have for a long time heard about music and NFTs, but I don't quite think we have seen as much attention being given to that particular space as we should have by now. But understandably, music is a very big industry, and it would take a big organization such as MasterCard to actually be able to do something significant enough to offer such opportunities. So to everyone who has been able to get these the music passes, kudos to you. I really, really hope that you have a fantastic journey. And if you are not able to get these music passes, or perhaps you heard about them once they were gone, I'm here to tell you that there's going to be plenty more. Do not be despondent. Do not be disheartened. MasterCard is just the beginning. This is, of course, I'm hoping that this will be a thing that they continue to do over time and it's not just a once-off. And if that is the case, that means that there will be another opportunity specifically with MasterCard. But I also think that there will be other organizations and institutions who come into the fray to offer a similar setup or similar opportunities and perks for creatives, specifically in the music scene, to be able to create within the Web3 sphere. So that brings us to the end of the headlines this week. If anything, I think it should remind us that, you know, there's always two sides to a coin. You know, you can have great things, phenomenal things, in fact, happening in one region, and then in another, things are completely falling apart. So remember to do your own research as well in whatever industry you're in, whatever region you're in, whatever country you're in. We try our utmost to give you as much information as we can across the globe, but mainly particularly across the African continent. But I know we do not cover everything. So once again, if there are any bits of news that you come across that you would like us to address here on Sats and Gway, be sure to hit us up either on Twitter or, you know, even in Discord if you're in our Discord or Telegram as well. Just a reminder, of course, that none of what we've shared here is financial advice, only the opinions of the individuals that make the show possible. You can always use the links in the show notes to do your own research or go about your research your own way. If you haven't already, be sure to subscribe and leave a rating on whatever platform it is you're listening from. So until next time, from myself and Nikki and the entire Bankless Africa team, remember to be relentless in your mission to be bankless.